Amen. Thank you so much, Aaron. Let me set that microphone, bud. I'm going to need that here in a moment. Well, good morning, guys. Good to see you guys. If you came in just a little bit late, my name is Lance, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Bethel. If you're a guest, you can place that connection card into the tithe and offering basket as it's passed by. Guys, just a couple other things before we jump into the message today. If you've never checked us out on social media, we'd love for you to do that right here in service. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, especially there on Facebook. You can really rate us there on Facebook, talk about your experience today, and that helps us continue to reach out to our community. Also, guys, we're encouraging you every week to invest in someone and to invite them here on a Sunday morning at Bethel. We're in a great series right now entitled Marriage, talking about marriage and relationships. In the month of October, we have a series entitled Ghost Stories. Ghost Stories coming up in the month of October, a great series that you can invite your neighbors to, your family members. I really believe that they will enjoy that series. Guys, we have something coming up here on Thursday night, September the 27th. I'm going to bring up Jay, who serves on our worship team. Jay, come on up here. Jay, give a big hand clap to Jay. And he's going to talk about something coming up here on the September 27th. Go ahead, Jay.
Not used to being up here. Good morning, Bethel family. How is everybody? Good, good to hear. Well, my name is Jay, as Pastor Lance just said. I got a message from Evan. He couldn't be here this morning. And it's quite simply, on Thursday night, this week, we're having jam night. Is it behind me? It is. It's going to be at 7 o'clock. You don't have to bring anything. But if you play an instrument and you would like to come and hang out with the worship team wants to get together with you and bring you in and show you kind of what we do. So you don't have to be shy or anything. We're all just learning together.
Good job,
Who's
Jay.
Who's going to be there? Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome, buddy. Thank you, Jay, so much. Love to see you guys here for that on Jam Night. All right, guys, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read one verse there, and then we're going to jump to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read a couple of verses there. We are in a series that we started last week entitled The Art of Marriage and Relationships. If you missed the first message, I really encourage you to go back and listen to it. It's on our podcast, BethelCommunity.church. You can check it out right there on the website. 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 15. Here we go. The Bible says, and he died, talking about Jesus. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Let's flip to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 5. He says, if you skip on over that little first sentence, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves. Difficult to do sometimes, isn't it? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, He, God, may exalt you, casting all your anxieties or all your cares on Him. Why do we get to do this? Simply because why? He cares for you. Father, we love you. God, open us up, Lord. Humble us today to simply listen to what you have to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, before we get started and jump in the mess, I do want to help all the men out this morning. And the reason why is because what we're going to focus on and what we're going to talk about today, my encouragement to you is to take some notes. So get your phone out, open up the notes app, or text yourself or email yourself. That's how I take notes. I text and email myself. Because your spouse or the lady that you're dating is going to want to talk about what we're going to focus on today. So I want to help you. I don't want you to get in the vehicle and she asks you, what did you think about the message? And all you have to say is, oh, it was good. That's not going to be enough. I want you to be ready. See, I love you men. Come on, I'm one of you. I understand the difficulty. The struggle is real. But if you take some notes, you'll begin to be able to highlight, man, this really stuck out to me. Or I really like what he said about that. Also, men, I encourage you. I know a lot of us, especially with our spouse or we're dating someone, we like to sit and have our arm around them. as we're listening to the message. I would encourage you actually maybe to put your arms down by your side today, because you might catch an elbow to the stomach or the ribs this morning as we're listening to this message. So maybe have your arms down by the side this morning just for protection. Today, what we're going to focus on is really the number one thing that kills marriages and dating relationships. And you would think that we would talk more about this topic when we enter into a dating relationship or when we get married, but for some reason, we don't. And I think one of the reasons we don't address this topic is because we don't want to mess the relationship up, so we really don't share too much with the other person. And the other reason is when we enter into a relationship, many times we assume a lot, don't we, about one another. You guys know what that word assume means? It means to take for granted, to believe something without proof. And we assume that they will somehow know what we like and what we don't like. And so this morning, this number one thing that kills marriages and dating relationships, this thing that we're going to focus on today is what's called unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. We're going to see that it's the number one thing that kills marriages and dating relationships. And the reason why is, why should we have conversations about our expectations? I mean, you're my husband. You're supposed to do husband things for me. You're my girlfriend. You're my boyfriend. You're my wife. You're supposed to know what to do. Why should we, ladies, I'm talking to you, ever have to have a conversation with your husband about getting the oil changed in your car? He's your husband, right? He should know that your oil needs to be changed, and you're definitely not going to do it. Some of you may, but most of us here as ladies, we're not going to do that. He should know that, what? It's time to go get the oil changed. Why should I have to have a conversation? Why should you, ladies, have to have a conversation about how to handle the money? Why should you have to have a conversation about how to change and when to change a diaper? You have a nose, husband, just like I do. Can't you smell it? Why are you waiting on me? Why do I have to have a conversation about when the baby wakes up at night? Me as the wife, I'm not the only one that has to get up. You have ears. You hear him or her crying. Don't you know you can do just what I can do? Why do we have to have conversations about these things? Men, why do we have to have conversations with our wife about when our dinner should be ready? I mean, you're my wife. Come on. You're supposed to know. When I get home, I want dinner on the table, or at least at some time. Isn't that what a wife's supposed to do? Why do I have to have a conversation with my wife about who should feed the baby at night? You're female, I'm male. I can't do it. You can. Why do I have to have a conversation about that? Why should we ever have to talk about our intimate life? I mean, come on. I like it, don't you? I mean, why do we have to have a conversation about that? Why would I ever talk to my wife about my job? Aren't you supposed to follow me wherever I go? You're going to catch an elbow, brother. I mean, why? Forget your job doesn't matter. You know, mine's the only one. Why should we ever? I mean, think about it. Think about when you were dating, or if you're dating now, have you ever had a conversation with that person about how and when to feed your baby? We don't talk about this. We don't talk about these things. Of course we don't, because why? We think you're my husband, you're my boyfriend, you're my girlfriend, you're my wife. You're supposed to know what to do. We don't share these expectations, but we definitely get frustrated about them, don't we? And frustration oftentimes turns to bitterness. Bitterness oftentimes turns to resentment. And resentment sometimes turns into you looking for someone else to meet these unmet expectations. I believe one of the problems we have with dating and even marriage is really how our culture dates. We truly don't get to know someone really throughout the dating process. When we're dating, what do? They meet all of our expectations. Number one, they are able to do this because they don't know all of them, because you might scare them to death if you shared all of them. And number two, throughout the dating process, we're trying really, really hard, aren't we? For example, a man when he is dating will pretend that he loves to go shopping. Of course, honey, you want to go back to that store for the third time and try on those same pair of shoes that I already told you look good. Of course, I would love to do that with you today. We enjoy shopping men throughout the dating process. Men, we love to watch sappy movies throughout the dating process and act like we enjoy them. We love to act like what? We love to have meaningful conversations throughout the dating process. Men, remember how long you used to stay on the phone with her? I mean, just hours. Why? Because, man, you're trying to do the best that you can. A woman throughout the dating process, she will pretend that she likes to watch football. Honey, I would love to watch football again. We watch it on Saturday. We watch it on Sunday. Yes, Monday night, I would love to do that with you. A woman will pretend that she likes your mama throughout the dating process. Six months into the marriage, someone starts to get upset. This is not the man. This is not the woman I married. No, the fact of the matter is, this is the real man. The one you dated was a fake. He was a fake. She was a fake. And our intentions throughout the dating process or engagement process is not to deceive, but we're trying really hard to impress one another. But 2 years, 5 years, 10 years into the relationship, we forget about one another. And what do? We stop trying. I believe some of us today feel like we've tried to have conversations. We've tried to talk about what we expect. We've shared these things, but it seems like the other person is just not listening. Or they may say they'll change, but really nothing ever changes. So what are we supposed to do? We all know that these expectations that we carry are very real. But what are we supposed to do? I love him. I love her. I want this relationship, or I want this marriage to work, but I don't know what to do. How do I move forward? This is where 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 really helps us today. And this also, friends, is why Jesus is a great third party to invite into any dating relationship and any marriage. He's the only third party that should be invited into any dating relationship or marriage. Jesus came that those who live, we learn from 2 Corinthians 5:15, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. What Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, and what he's arguing here is that the DNA of sin is selfishness. And when you come to Jesus, you give up your independence. And friends, it is the same when you enter into a dating relationship, and especially when you enter into marriage. You give up your independence. The script has to be flipped. It is no longer about your needs or your expectations getting met, but about seeking to meet their needs and their expectations. So how does this happen? How can we move forward? Number one is simply this. Three little things here. Number one is we have to look in the mirror. Oh, this is difficult. This is why we said humility is so important. We have to look in the mirror and say, I am my greatest marriage problem. Whew. Why don't you just stab me, Pastor Lance? We have to look in the mirror and humble ourselves and say, I am my greatest marriage problem. Not my circumstances, not him, not her, not the kids. I am the problem. The problem lives on the inside of me. The problem is called selfishness. In the beginning of our dating relationship or marriage, we carry this wrong mindset and heart. What we're looking for is someone who meets our needs and fulfills our expectations. We're saying to ourselves, we don't say it out loud, but we say to ourselves, how can they meet these expectations I'm carrying around? Because they're getting too heavy for me, and I need someone else to take them for me. Now, again, we never would say that because, why? They would run faster from you than you ever could imagine. But yet, how we handle our actions really truly reveal the motives of our heart. It's selfishness. Let's be honest with ourselves today. None of us here have entered into a dating relationship or a marriage because we suddenly have become so excited about living a selfless life. Man, I have been being so selfish. I think it's time to start dealing with my selfishness. So therefore, I'm going to find a mate and start living an unselfish life. We don't do that, do we? This is not the motivating factor for getting married. We do it because we have expectations and we're tired of carrying them around. It's time for someone else to carry them and meet them for us. See, friends, this is exactly one of the reasons God loves marriage so much. This is why if you've been dating for a while, your relationships needs to be leading to a marriage. Because Jesus loves it. Because it forms us or conforms us into the image of who He is like nothing else. Marriage forces us to begin to deal with our unselfish life. I like to say that I have been born again 7 times. The first time is when I said yes to Jesus about 18 years ago, born again. The second time is when I said I do to my wife. I got born again. The next time was when I had my first kid, got born. Second, third, fourth, and fifth. What am I talking about? God is chipping away at my selfishness. When I got married, when I had my first kid, second kid, third kid, fourth kid. See, friend, fifth kid. I forgot I have one more. Fifth kid. Forget about him sometimes. Left him in the car one time, forgot he was even there. I went back and got him only a minute long, Pastor Richard. Don't call DCS on me. Might want to delete that from the podcast later on. There's a war going down on the inside of every one of us. It's a war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of self. And marriage, friends, is a giant slayer of the kingdom of self. It is a giant slayer. See, 2 Corinthians 5:15 is very liberating to us today. This verse is basically stating that Jesus has rescued me from me. He has delivered me from my selfishness and focusing really on what's called the own unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. In Christ, we can find, friends, what we're truly made for. I have been made to live for Jesus and, don't miss this, to love my wife, Deanna. And you have been made to live for Jesus and to love your husband or your wife. Men, our first assignment is not our jobs. I know that you want to do great on your job. I want you to do great at your job. I want you to move up wherever you're at. But that is not your first assignment. Men, our first assignment is not to make a lot of money. Please do. God wants you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. But it is not your first assignment. Our first assignment is to love our wives the way Christ loved the church. And what did Jesus do for the church? He laid down His life so that the church could live. And it's our responsibility as husbands. Our first assignment is to make sure that her wishes, her dreams and her expectations are fully met. Ladies, you should have said amen. Don't miss those opportunities or elbow your husband, one or the other. It's all the same. This is why God brought her to you. All these other things, listen to me, like your job, your children, the money that you make flow from your relationship with your wife. But we as men, we get it all jacked up. We focus way too much on our jobs, way too much on how much money we're making. And we don't focus on what matters the most, your relationship with her. She matters the most. It's your first assignment, men. You need to take that down, write that down. She's going to ask you, who's your first assignment? You are, babe. Ladies, he's your first assignment from Jesus, not your children. Your children are not your first assignment. Your husband, now I know he doesn't look very good now, but he's your first assignment. To love him, to serve him. Not your children, not your job. Is this difficult, friends? Yes. Is this exhausting at times? Yes. Does this mean we have to have a lot of conversations and talk a lot? Yes. But I want you to know, if you want to have a great relationship or a great marriage, this is what it takes. It's difficult. It's tough. But again, the motivating factor is what Christ has done for you. Can you imagine? See, some of you here today are thinking, Pastor Lance, that's great. But there cannot be any buts when it comes to this. Can you imagine if both parties are treating one another and dealing with their selfishness like this? Well, we stop pointing the finger at him or her, and we really allow the Spirit of God to point the finger at ourselves. The problem is me. I am my greatest marriage problem. I'm telling you, when humility comes like this, now the relationship, now the marriage really can begin to change. Well, Pastor Lance, that's great, but what about my expectations? Because they're real, and we feel them, and we actually desire for those to be met. Yes, I realize I'm selfish, but I still have these expectations. Are you saying have no expectations? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. This is not you waving the right flag. Oh, I surrender. Whatever you want, I will do. This is not what we're talking about. Expectations are real. So what do I do with them? Well, this is where 2 Peter chapter 5 really helps us today. Number one, we got to point the finger at ourselves, but yet we still have these expectations. So number two, what do? We take these expectations to God. We take them to God. This is what Peter talks about. Clinging to your expectations will destroy your marriage or dating relationship. Meaning they have to go somewhere. Some of these expectations are healthy. Some of them, friends, I have to be honest with you, are unhealthy and unholy expectations. So some of them needs to die. And she and he will help you with that. That's not good. We're not doing that. Unholy. But most of them are real. So what do we do them? We could ignore them, couldn't we? But that doesn't help. You could stay busy all the time, so you don't have to have conversations about them. And that's sometimes what some of us do. We just stay busy, so we don't have to talk about what's really on our hearts. We could find someone else. You're not carrying my expectations properly, so I'll just go find someone else. Now, if you're dating, hey, baby, you're free to do that. But if you're married, that's probably not the best choice. Because why? As we know, wherever you go, who's there? You're there. You're there. No matter what relationship you enter into, you are there. So we have to do something with them. Well, here we have in 2 Peter 5, Peter talking about what we do with these expectations. He calls them anxieties. That's what it comes, doesn't it? These expectations, you get anxious. Or he's talking about your anxieties, or other versions use the word care. What do we do? He tells us that we can cast these expectations, or we can cast these cares upon who? Upon God. That means that you and I can unload on God. Before we take it to them, here's a little saying, you take it to him. Before you take it to them, you take it to him first. A lot of us, we take it to them first instead of him, and what we do is we blow up on them and they're not able to listen to what we're trying to say. See, here's the thing about taking these things to God, is a lot of us in this room have to stop praying polite prayers to God. Got to stop it. We got to start talking honestly with God. We don't do this because we think God is somehow going to be upset at us if we get honest with really what's going on down on the inside of us. But have you ever read the book of Psalms and read this brother named David who wrote down his prayers? This guy, David, kept it real with God. I mean, he'd be in a moment worshiping, Lord, you're lovely, Lord, you're beautiful, kind of like we did today. And then the next verse, God, kill him. God, destroy him. God, annihilate him. What is he doing? He's keeping it real. David knows I don't have to pray polite prayers to God. He's a big boy. He can take my frustration. I can share with him my pain. This is how we get open and honest with God. We say things like, God, I'm frustrated. God, I'm mad at him or her. God, why did you give me this man? Why did you bring this woman into my life? See, look at y'all. Y'all don't even, you can talk like this. I promise you, my wife has said that before to God. God, I'm mad, I'm frustrated, I'm upset, they're not listening. Lord, do you hear me? What's going on? You can get honest with him. God, I've gotten so frustrated, so upset at him or her. Let me tell you, this is how honest you can get. God, I even realize on the inside of me that I'm beginning to notice him or her at work now. And Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, help me. You can get real with God. He knows what your heart desires. He knows what's going on in here. If there's been something in here that's been noticing someone else, maybe at work or wherever, just get real with God. He already knows. You're not hiding anything from him. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. That means he knows everything. He's huge. Be honest with him. Stop praying polite prayers. Take your expectations to God. Share them with him. Cast them on him. Got to do that first. Because if we don't do that and you begin to take those to him or her, I'm telling you, you're going to go in the right, wrong spirit and the wrong attitude. And they're not going to be able to hear what you're trying to say. This may mean you might have to get on your knees. This may mean you might have to lift your hands. This may mean you might have to lift your voice. When I have yelled to God, not at God, but to God. I don't yell at him. I yell to him. Yelled about my frustrations, my pain, my difficulty. I've gotten on my knees. I've lifted my hands. Why? Because posture is important. Our brain's connected to our body, and so the posture that we get in is important for us. We take our expectations to God. And the last one is this. Jesse, you can come on up. We take our expectations, our cares to our spouse. We take them to our spouse. What does that mean? That means we begin to talk to them about what we expect. I know you're thinking I shouldn't have to do that. I was meeting with a married couple, my wife and I, 2 weeks ago. And she was sharing all these things, and we simply asked her, have you shared that with him? She said, no, I have not. Why have you not done that? Because I thought he would know to do that. I said, sweetie, he didn't have a clue. He doesn't know what you desire. He doesn't know what you want and what you expect unless you tell him. You have to talk to him. So let me give you a great tip today before we leave of how to talk about these expectations. Again, this is what you need to write down. One of the things you need to write down. Let me show you or share with you how to use the right words. Because you can come again in the wrong attitude. You can get passionate, be aggressive about this. But there's a way to talk to your spouse or even if you're a dating relationship to talk about your expectations. And here's the words that you use. You use the words, I notice and I would prefer. I notice and I would prefer. For instance, I notice when we're in public, you say things about me that you think are funny, but really, they're disrespectful. I would prefer that you simply would not do that. I notice that after eating dinner, you leave your dishes in the sink. I would prefer that you put them in the dishwasher. I notice when we're in conversations with other couples, you talk over me. I would prefer that you allow me to finish my sentences. I notice and I would prefer. This is a great way to begin to talk about your expectations to your spouse. It's non-combative. You're not being aggressive. You're not in anger. You simply, hey, I notice, whatever. But you know what? I really would prefer that you would do it this way. You know, as you're talking, going home today, as you're having these conversations, the one thing you cannot do is this, friends. You cannot say, if the other party brings something up, you cannot say, that's not true. Strike that from your vocabulary this morning. Because why? If it's true to them, it's true. And oftentimes we get defensive when he or she brings something up. That's not true. Ah, that's not it. No, 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 you're missing. No, 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 it is true. If they're bringing it up and they have the confidence and the boldness to talk to you about this, then friends, it is true. Again, hopefully we took notes today. I'm really hoping that meaningful conversations happen in the vehicle, at home, where you sit down and you talk about this. Talk about your expectations with one another. Share them with each other. Get rid of this mindset and this thought that they should already know. They don't know. And I found out with my wife and I, you know, the expectations change. Dee and I have been married now 17 years. It was different when we first got married. It was different after 10 years. 17 years, things change. So we have to constantly be talking about our expectations of what we wish, what we'd like to see happen. God's going to give you the grace to do it. Amen. Father, we love you so much. You know, if you're married and you're sitting next to your spouse, or if you're in a dating relationship, just grab their hand. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for every couple in this room. Lord, even for those that may not be sitting with their spouse or with their boyfriend or girlfriend.